He spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. We could probably spend the rest of the evening just talking about that first verse. That men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Do you ever lose heart in your prayer life? Don't do it. Don't do it. When you lose heart, you deactivate your faith. Don't take your eyes off the mark. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night to him, though he bears long with them? See, Jesus was frequently concerned that his followers pray continually in order to accomplish God's will for their life. And to persist in prayer and to not give up does not mean endless repetition or painfully long prayer sessions. That's not what they're talking about. Constant prayer means keeping our requests continually before God as we live for Him day by day, believing that He will answer. Listen, have you gave up on some of your prayers? Have you felt like God's just not going to take care of that, and so we just give up and move on to the next? Church, we got to be persistent. We have to stay the course in Jesus' name. When we live by faith, we're not giving up. God may delay answering, but His delay always has good reason. And so as we persist in prayer, we grow in character and in faith and in hope. Jesus was not comparing God to this unjust and contemptuous judge as though He would treat believers in this manner. The reality is, instead, this is a story that shows that even if an evil man can be made to deal justly by a persistent widow, how much more would God, who loves His people, care for our requests? Church, we serve a God that loves us. And we might have loved ones that are running amok, going buck wild. But we must continue to pray and continue to lift them up and hold them up before God. We've done everything that we can do but God. Don't quit praying. What does it mean always to pray, or to pray without ceasing, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 17? It doesn't mean that we should be just constantly repeating prayers, because Jesus warned against that kind of praying. Rather, it means that we are to make prayer as natural as our regular breathing. It just ought to be something that's natural for us. It ought to just flow from us. Unless we're sick or smothering, we rarely think about our breathing. We just do it. If somebody's choking you, you're thinking about your next breath. But if you're just out doing whatever, you probably aren't thinking too much about it. It just comes natural. I don't spend much time thinking about blinking. Do you? Sometimes I think about the slimy stuff that's on your eye that doesn't never wear out. I think about that stuff. I think we must serve a magnificent God, because I never have to. I have to change oil in my pickup and Tammy's car, and because the oil, this stuff doesn't ever wear out. Isn't that amazing? We don't think about some of these things. Likewise with prayer, it ought to be a natural habit of our lives. There ought to be an atmosphere of prayer in which we live constantly as children of God. I remember so many times riding down the road with Pastor Dell, and all of a sudden he'd just break out praying. We'd just scare the fire out of you if you weren't ready for that. He wouldn't be real quiet sometimes. But it was part of who he was to just be ready to pray. So to pray without ceasing. Yeah, for your life. Church, prayer is so much more than just words of our lips. Prayer is the desires of our heart. And our hearts are constantly desiring before Him, even if we never speak a word. Think about that. So to pray without ceasing means to have such holy desires in our heart, in the will of God, that we are constantly in loving communion with the Father, petitioning Him for His blessing. Maybe the greatest contrast is that the widow came to a court of law. But listen, as God's children, we come before a throne of grace. Isn't that amazing? This widow went to a courtroom. You and I go before a throne of grace where we can find help and mercy in our time of need. She pled out of her poverty, but we have all of God's riches available to us to meet our every need. Our every need. And so the point is clear that if we fail to pray, our condition spiritually will be just like that of this poor widow. And unless we see that Jesus is pointing out contrast, we'll get the idea that God must be argued or bribed into answering prayers, and that's just not the case. God's not like this judge. He's a loving Father who is attentive. He's attentive to our every need, to our every cry. How many of you know tonight He's generous in His gifts? He's generous. He's concerned about our needs. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and say God's not concerned about your need. Because He is. And He's ready to answer when we call. The only reason that this judge helped this widow was because he was afraid that she would weary him. Now, that word weary is not the word weary that probably you and I are thinking about, where we're just wore out and we're tired. The word weary here really literally means to give me a black eye or ruin his reputation. And he didn't want that. And so he gave her request. See, God answers prayers for His glory and for our good. And He's not vexed or wore out when we come. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus gives instruction that we are to ask, to seek, and to knock. In fact, in verse 7 and 8, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone," excuse me, "for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." So here's the catch. Not the catch, but the point. Jesus' followers can keep on asking and keep on looking and keep on knocking, indicating the importance of persistent, consistent prayer in our lives. There ought to be something of a natural flow from the prayer request, praying and petitioning to God, to the answered prayer, where it just goes from praying to praising for what answers prayers we just got. And in fact, in so many instances, I feel like sometimes that God, we should be thanking God after we pray. We should thank God for the answer to that prayer before we ever receive the answer. God, we just thank you in advance. We just thank you for what we believe by faith, God, that you're doing. And then when it actually happens, it ought to not surprise us. We ought to just continue to give thanks to God for what he's done. See, it's only through prayer that we can stay in contact with God and know what he wants us to do, and then have the strength to do the will of God in every area of our life. God wants to fellowship with us. He wants to spend time with us. He will answer believers who persistently ask, seek, and knock. We must not take Jesus' words, though, as a blank check, because prayer is not some magical way or spiritual way to get what we want. If you want your prayers answered, pray in the will of God. Pray in the will of God. Jesus explained some conditions on this promise. His followers were to show mercy and forgiveness to others. Show mercy and forgiveness to others. Christ's followers are to avoid praying in order to get attention. And we must be willing to persevere in prayer. That means praying when we maybe don't feel like praying. Maybe we don't see any evidence that our prayers are doing any good. That's not the time to quit. That's the time to just press in. Just press into Him. Our requests must be in harmony with God's will. Your will be done. Our prayers are accepting His will above our desires. How many of you know, though, that God will grant you the desires of your heart? I've seen that to be true in my life so many times. The Apostle Paul goes on to admonish us to be steadfast in prayer in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Paul goes on to say that we should devote ourselves to prayer and be alert in prayer. Our persistence is an expression of our faith that God answers our prayers. We should pray and praise as though every prayer we pray gets answered. We should never back away from praying for something that seems completely, completely out of our reach. To many, this building project is out of our reach, and it is. But it isn't out of God's reach. It isn't out of God's provision. Our persistence is an expression of our faith that God does answer prayer. Faith shouldn't die if our answers come slowly, for the delay may be God's way of working His will in our life. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but if God answered every prayer I prayed as soon as I pray them, I would be a mess. Anybody with me on? Woo! When you feel tired of praying, know that God is present, that He's always listening, that He's always answering. Maybe not in the way that you and I have hoped that He would answer, but in ways that He Himself knows are the best. Amen? Persistence in prayer is a key that the church needs to learn and understand. We need to... I've been raised in such a society that everything is instant gratification. Everything happens right now. You know, if you when I was growing up, if you wanted to cook something, you had to build a fire in an old wood cook stove. And you had to wait for the thing to get hot, and then, I mean, you just put something in the microwave, in 2 minutes, you're eating. It ain't hardly worth eating, but you're eating. We don't even have to get out of your car anymore. You just drive up to the window, and they throw it out the window in a bag, and away you go. Most of the time, it's not what you got ordered, but you got something. Church, we need to slow down. Focus our mind's eye, our attention, our hearts back on God, back on communication and fellowship with God and time spent with Him. Amen? This week, I know it's a holiday week and all that, but I don't think God's taking a holiday. He's still listening for our prayers. He's still desiring to fellowship and spend time with us. So let's not disappoint Him this week. Let's keep praying and keep believing. There's an interesting story this morning in the church that a young lady was driving down the freeway this morning. Maybe some of you visited with her. I did after the service, just introduced myself to her. She said she was driving down the freeway and God told her that she needed to come to this. I don't know how she even knew about this church, but that she needed to come to church this morning. And she just kept right on driving. As she got down to the Tri-City Riddle exit, and God said, "Why are you being disobedient to me and not doing what I'm telling you to do?" And so she said, "Okay, Lord," and she turned around, she came back, and she came here. I don't know if this is the first place she came to that she recognized as a church, or if God specifically told her to come here, I don't know. But she said the message that came forth this morning was exactly what she needed to hear, to be encouraged. She's all the way from Corvallis, just driving through. I think that there's going to be a lot more of those kinds of instances that happen, church. As the word begins to get out that God is alive and well in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, that lives are still being changed in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, that prayers are still being answered in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, because the people of God are determined to be persistent in their prayer life. God, whether we see our prayers being answered or not, we will persist in what You've called us to. We know that You are God with us. You are Emmanuel. We know that You said You'd never leave us nor forsake us. We know that Your Word says that You'll never have Your children begging for bread. And Lord, tonight, we just stop for a moment and we say thank You for all that You've done and for all that You're doing in our lives today. God, again tonight we honor our veterans. Lord, we hold up the families that have lost loved ones on foreign battlefields, even that have lost loved ones here on American soil in training exercises and the like, preparing and training and to defend the freedoms that we have in the United States of America. We're still one nation under God. We're still the greatest, most blessed nation on planet Earth. Still more people trying to get here than they are trying to leave. And Father, we thank You that You are our Lord. That You're our God. That You're our Savior, our Redeemer. God, that we can call You friend, brother, father. My favorite, soon coming King. Because one day, very soon I believe, that eastern sky is going to split. Jesus is going to step through the clouds. The horn's going to blow. The dead in Christ are going to be raised up. And those of us that are left will be caught up together to meet with them in the air. Spend eternity in heaven with Almighty God. Father, I thank You for this precious congregation that You've honored me and Tammy to be a part of and my family. To just be a part of this great congregation. Lord, I pray tomorrow as many of us will be gathered around a barbecue, reminiscing, laughing, carrying on. May we be mindful of those that died, protecting the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy in these United States of America. And we thank You for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Gene has an offering basket over there. I want to encourage you to put something in it if God would lead you that way. Yes.